This is what baptism is about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." I personally am very relieved that my old has gone. My parents are here this morning and they will say amen to that. But we are now in Christ. If you're a believer here today, you are in him, not in yourself. You can turn to someone next to you and go, "Phew, that is a relief." You are in Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to pray and then we're going to have a good time of worship and worshiping the Lord. And the Lord comes to meet us in our worship time. We're not just singing to him. It's not The Voice or X Factor. He is wanting to inhabit our praises and meet with us and speak his word to us by his Spirit today. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are present in the midst of your people here. Thank you that you have made us new creations. You have prepared us and made us ready to meet with you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And we come to you full of confidence today, knowing that you have done your work in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
I decided stupidly a number of months ago I'd run the marathon for the NSPCC, for a children's charity, for those of you who haven't heard of them. I was fostered by them as a child, so I wanted to be able to pay something back. And the training hasn't gone very well, so I made a decision of a route that I want to go down, and I've not done very well yet at practicing the training for it. But then stupidly every now and again, I have a conscience, she's called Lucy. Stupidly every now and again, she says, "You haven't trained, you haven't run." So then I say, "I'm going to go out and do a run." So yesterday, decided I'm going to get ready for my run. And those of you who know the London Marathon's 26.2 miles long. So I set my path yesterday. I decided I was going to run on the Thames path. Clearly that one's not a selfie. That I had to ask some randomer to take a picture of me because I was out on my own. And the look I got was interesting because I'm trusting someone in here, if Thames Mead, and I am local as well, so I'm not putting anyone down, but trusting someone with my phone, further than arm's reach, dressed as a minion, too tired to run after them anyway if they were going to run off with my phone. But this was me getting ready for my journey that I was going to go on. And I had my path laid out. I knew the route I was going to take. It's 8.2 miles down to Windrush Primary School in Charlton. Stupidly, as a maths teacher, I should be able to add up, but that also means it's 8.2 miles back. So the journey was quite a long one and quite a painful one. And this made it worse. On my journey, I find that, let's just zoom in a bit for you. This yellow line up here is the route I should have been able to take. This red line that goes all around here like this is the route I had to therefore take because they closed off part of the path. So we do come up against some challenges on our journey that does say, if you want to get to the end, you might need to manoeuvre around the odd obstacle or two. This is how happy I was at the beginning. This is how I felt when I was looking at the picture. It was a challenge. I had to decide, was I going to continue on this journey or not? I did, as you will then later see. I then get down to some signposts telling me where I've been or where I can go to. This one here that says that I've done 11 minutes from Woolwich to Thamesmead is a lie. It was a lot longer than 11 minutes. So please, please, when you are planning your journey, have a look at what you're going to do. And this one that told me it would be another 10 minutes to Charlton is also a lie, because it wasn't. It was much, much, much longer. But I then did reach my journey, even if the picture won't tell me I did. Dave, I'm not popping up anymore. I did reach my destination. I got to Windrush. This was me a little bit happier. Yeah, that's it. There was a little cheer there. I almost got out of cheer when I reached my journey, only to realise that my water bottle had run out. I wasn't quite prepared, and I had to do that journey back. So these are very friendly people, and they will offer us some help along the way. But that's maybe a little bit of cheating. I didn't want to have to rely on those to help me, although believe me, sometimes a saving grace is quite helpful there. But I knew when I got home, it's not my actual bath, that one, because mine's not as nice as that. But my bath is all set up. It's a really nice hot bath, and I know when I get into it, I can spend an hour or so, or more, as I'm reminded, when the hot tap is just on trickle feed, so it stays hot. And I know that the pain that I have gone through when I rise up out of that bath is going to be left behind in the bath. I have to have an ice bath, so we've put ice in this one today for those being baptized, because that comes today. You do that the following day, so look forward to that, everyone. So I get in my bath. There's no selfie for that, obviously. But I know that as I come out of it, I'm leaving behind that pain. As I go down into that water and submerge myself for a period of time, I'm leaving behind the pain, or sometimes torture and punishment, that I've gone through. And as we go into a baptism service today and we start looking at what we are leaving behind when we go down into the water behind me, and as we come, you won't stay in there for the hour or two that I do the bath, but when we come back up, it will be what we've left behind and us being a new creature in God. And I have got a verse later that I'll go to that David quoted earlier on as well, so it'll be really interesting when we get there. The preparation that we are making before today, God is clearly speaking to us, because we didn't talk about what we were both literally about to say, and we're on the same path. We've got people who have got on their minds and hearts to be baptized today. Some of you have stepped forward and want to do it, and others, as David said, maybe don't quite feel there yet, or it's still just that last bit that you need to get over in your heart or your mind. Please do talk to one of us if that's the case, because we all struggle. We all struggle. Do not think that you are not good enough, or not, none of us are good enough, so let's get that out there now, or that you're not ready. We are ready. You've made that decision to be baptized. You've made that decision to follow Christ, to accept him as your savior, but we're all still sinners. Hands up if you have struggled with sin at some point this week. It's where it's like, I can't put my hand up. Okay, if you say you haven't, you being truthful, you're probably struggling with sin by not being able to admit to it, actually. I would be. And if you're saying you have, that's okay. We all do. We all do struggle with sin because we are flesh. We've got this tempter that makes us want to do wrong. And you know what? When you become a Christian, that doesn't go away. In fact, he's going to attack you even more. But what we've got is a powerful God that has already died to sin, has already taken that. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to sin anymore. Believe me, when you come out of this baptism pool later, you're not going to levitate with a halo above you and wings and be amazing, but you are amazing inside. God loves you, because, as we said, Jesus loves you. Even if you're ugly, you're not. And despite the age difference, you've got way more hair than me. So you are blessed. And look, Margaret loves you as well. God gives us people to care for us. But if you think you've not struggled with sin, let me take you back to 1 John chapter 1 verse 10 says, if you say you are without sin, you make God a liar. We will struggle with sin. We know that we will. And it's our bodies that cause us these problems. God gives us an opportunity to make decisions day in, day out. And where we're able to make choices, that means there's opportunity to make the wrong choices as well as the right. And we will find that difficult sometimes. And what we need to look at is, where are our choices based upon? Where is the word in the Bible that gives us that guidance? And are we using it? Are we getting our daily feeding to help us there? So, if you don't know yet what Christ has done for you, please, I hope you take away something today for it. And it won't be long. The way to make me go quicker is say, Steve, there's baptisms after, and I want to rush through it as quick as I can. So we will not be long today, and the main focus is going to be what takes place there behind us. But what God has done, God has delivered us by grace. It's not any one of us that deserved what God has done for us. Any one of us, and I'm saying us, it's me as well. But what God has done is by grace. Romans 5 verse 2, we access his grace by faith, having faith in God. So let's, if you've got your Bibles with you, please turn to Romans. Romans chapter 6. I have here, I'm starting at verse 11, but I lied. I'm going to start a little bit earlier, just to put a bit of context in. So I'm actually going to start from verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Now we'll get to verse 11 for those waiting for me to catch up there. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey his evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and every other part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. So just two or three key points I want to be able to pick up out of this for you today. Just two or three. The first being, we have a choice to make. In verse 12 it said, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. We have a choice. Are we going to allow these things to happen? Is lust a bad word, I suppose? It's the first thing. Because so many people would think, yes. I will say, I don't believe lust is a bad word. The object of our lust would be, could be. But we need to make a decision on if we're going to allow that to happen. Sin has got the potential, even as a Christian, even after being baptized, to still attack us. It will happen. And we can backslide. We can make mistakes. We can get things wrong. But we also know we've got a loving God there that will forgive us and take us forward. People will be ready to attack us as soon as they have seen that you've done something wrong. But you're a Christian. You were only baptized recently. Look already. It will happen. But we need to be making the conscious decision that we want to do the right thing. And I think a way that I would phrase that more is we've got a choice. We can do the wrong thing or we do the right thing. We don't want to be in a position where we're thinking, I'm not going to do the wrong thing. My focus is not going to be on the wrong thing. The wrong thing is not going to take my mind. Because where's the mentions now of the right thing? And if our focus actually is, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to live with the Lord Jesus. I'm going to do what God's asked me to do. I'm now not even thinking about the wrong. So it's where is our focus that we're looking at? And Paul says, do not let sin reign in you. The fact that he says it shows it must be a possible thing to happen. Otherwise, he wouldn't say it. He's not saying, believe and be baptized, and actually, do you know what? It'll all be a bunch of roses. He says, do not let sin reign in you, which means there's clearly the potential for it to happen, and make the choice so that it doesn't. If it wasn't possible, if when we come up out of that water, it wasn't possible to do, Paul wouldn't need to have even said what he did. So please be aware that when you think you're being attacked, it happens. Paul's saying, look, you've got to make a choice. You need to take the initiative to make the choice that you're going to make. And those that are being baptized today, you've made a brilliant choice. Really, really good choice. And I hope that people feel blessed from seeing that today. So, I didn't even show you that one. Okay, so we've got darkness and flesh was the next thing that's come up for me. Paul says here, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Our mortal body, the part that can die, is the only part actually that sin can take control of. That will die and go. God has sent Jesus to die for us to take away that once and for all. Once and for all. Satan can only operate there in the darkness. He can't operate there where you've got light. If Jesus is there with you and you are really striving for the Lord, he's got no opportunity to get in. And it's that choice. Do I want to focus on not doing the wrong thing, or do I want to focus on doing the right thing? So Satan will come. Satan will attack us. Satan can only work in the darkness, and sin can only operate in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:17, just in case you didn't hear it earlier, was the verse that I actually have down. I think David saw my notes. Was, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. The old has passed away, behold, new things has come. So what was he before? What were we before? We were in Adam, but we are now in Christ. What a place to be. We are now in Christ. We're dead to sin, but we're alive in Christ. Christ is dwelling within us. And my main point here is we can say no to sin. And we can, and we should make that decision. But as I said, it's by saying yes to Christ. Saying no to sin will not make us a Christian. Saying no to sin will not get us our place in heaven. Saying yes to Christ will. And just as it works out by saying yes to Christ, it obviously removes the temptation or some of the temptation there to sin. It gets us our place there. Paul says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey its lusts. So what he's saying is start listening to God. Listen to what he's trying to tell you. Base your life on the word of God. I want my life to visibly look like what God has said he wants me to be. Not just my words, my actions. And I was, I was challenged recently in a conversation with someone where they said, what's your spiritual life like at the moment? What is your time alone with God like? Now, I suppose one of two things challenged me there. One is, how are they not able to see that? How can they not already see what I'm like? Does that mean that I'm not visibly showing my love of Christ, showing the way I am? People know I have a wife and a family. They see my love there. But do I not show that enough? But then the other thing was actually, am I spending enough time with God? When I'm in my alone times, my quiet times, am I listening to what the will of God is for me? And what I would say to you is, if I think back to when I was first saved, and if I think back to, it was a long time ago, and think back to when I was baptized, I was on fire after that. And I'm not saying I'm not on fire now, but that fire that was there, I wish I had that fire day in, day out. But as I get older and as I get on a bit, and a bit more, that dampens sometimes. And where do I go to get that? I go back to the Word and find out what God is saying to me. For those of you that are here for Anna's like a dedication where we thanked her for coming into church, and I had a gentleman called Kwasi here. Some of you will remember his prayer. I bet you won't remember all of it because it went on. But this is a guy that I sometimes will go to for counsel. And I'd spoken to him. He phoned me and said, look, I haven't heard back from you since you had X decision to make. I assume you did it because God told you to. And I haven't spoken to him since then. And I'd said, well, actually, you know, I had some questions and I'm thinking this and I've had this picture. And he went, let me just stop you there, because your picture you've obviously interpreted wrong, because I know God's will for you is this. And sometimes we need to hear that. Listen to what God's will is. Are we really listening to what God wants us to do? Or are we getting worried? Are we getting nervous? Are we thinking, I'm not good enough to do that? Because we are. None of us are good enough for it, but we've got God's will with us. And anything is possible with the Lord Jesus. So I have a question for you then that I asked earlier, but I didn't give you time to think about. But think to yourself now, do you think lust is a bad word? Can you think of things that you possibly lust after? Now, I'm going to try and pronounce these words, but I'm not going to be very good. So lust comes from the word epithumia. Who's the really good ones at those? David, is that pronounced right? Or Spiro? Oh, good. Okay, so no one can tell me that it wasn't quite right, because you can't read what I wrote anyway. Epithumia, though. But epi means to focus on something intensely. Really, really focus on this object intensely. And thumos means a passionate desire. So what we are doing is intensively focusing on a passionate desire. This is lust. So if we focus on something intensely, passionately, it's more about the object of it. Jesus wants us to focus intensely on him, passionately about him. So what did Jesus say when people asked him what the greatest commandment was? What he said was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your body, your soul, and your strength. That sounds like lust. That sounds like intensely focusing on someone. So lust isn't a bad word. The object of our lust could be. The object of our lust could be. But as I spoke a while back, the object of our faith could be. If I have faith that I can stand up on here and it's going to hold my weight, it won't. And I'll get hurt. But I have faith. The object of our faith. If I sit on a chair, it will hold us. So something I focused on earlier, saying no to sin by saying yes to Jesus. As we go into this stage now of looking at the baptisms that are about to take place, and I will finish shortly because I can't wait. I'm ready. I'm dressed ready to get straight in. We will not be getting changed. We're going for it. Look at not the problems that come up ahead of you as you go on this journey, but look at the solutions. Look at what we're going to need to do as we go forward. Look at who can help us. Paul said in verse 13, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as an instrument of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Think of, how is God going to use me going forward? How will he use each and every one of you? And the instruments, I've listed just some, being your hands, your feet, your eyes, your mouth. The words that we are saying to people, how will you encourage someone today? And your eyes, this is yourself internally. What are we looking at? Where are we focusing our attention? Because if you have areas of difficulty that you're looking at, you think, actually, you know what? I'm lusting after the wrong thing. I need to come away from that. Take your attention away from that and focus it on the Lord. Where does he want you to go? And what's his plans for you? So if you wake up in the morning and you say, God, I'm not going to have a lustful day at all today. In your prayers, you're going to be saying, you know, please give me the right day, give me this, I won't lust after that. Amen. Open the newspaper and you're looking at something probably wrong already. You might get as far as amen. Some might not get that far. It depends on your prayer life. But you're probably not going to last very long if it's focusing on what I don't want to focus on. Focus on the Lord. Have him as the object of your desire. And what I will say to you is, if you are being baptized today, that burning that you're going to have, please keep that alive. How do you refresh that day in, day out? Find a different person every day to tell about your baptism. How it went, maybe don't talk about this part, but how your baptism went, what was going through your mind, what you were thinking about, how much your love of Christ is there that you want to share it with everyone today. When I was younger, the way I used to describe baptism was around the whole, it's a bit like supporting a football team, and you believe in that football team, but when I put that football shirt on, I'm showing everyone that's my belief. But it's way more than that. It's what it shows, what the image is. You are going down into the water here. The water's still there. You're going down into the water, leaving behind the image there of being buried, of dying in that sin, and coming back, leaving it all behind. I have one more verse here that I want to be able to read to you. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We sung earlier, I am a new creation. We are new creations. Take the Lord as your Savior, believe and be baptized. Please, if some of you are thinking of the baptism and thinking, I do believe, but I'm not there yet. I don't know where I need to get to. You're there. God's waiting to work with you. Open your heart and mind and allow him to. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity you've given us today, Lord, to share your love with each other. And Lord, we can say things in jest and we can joke, but Lord, your message is a real, honest, serious message there, Lord, that you died for us. You died for all of our sins. It was the grace that enables us to be saved through faith. Lord, thank you so much for what you did that none of us deserved, but Lord, we willingly accept. I pray that as these people are being baptized today, Lord, that Lord, it'll be a time of rejoicing, celebrating the wonderful work that you've done there with each and every one of us. Amen.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.